Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most important, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go! Negative news and its impact on our health. That's today's show topic. While the act of continuously scrolling through social media or surfing the web and taking in a constant torrent of bad news isn't really new, it's gotten new attention during the pandemic and even a new name, doom scrolling. Chances are, at some point you find yourself doing this. An unneeding scroll in the harsh light of your smartphone or computer screen, whether it's Facebook or Google or any number of other places, you're subjecting yourself to a constant stream of terrible news. Unfortunately, doom scrolling isn't good for our mental health for a variety of reasons, Dr. Aubrey explains. I'm sure you all know Dr. Aubrey by now. She's my regular guest who helps us to understand those psychologically rooted behaviors we deal with. She's a chartered psychologist and author of The Leader's Guide to Resilience. She's also a resident psychologist on The Chrissy B Show and presenter and wellness advocate on Disruptive TV. She also broadcasts self-development podcast Retain Your Brain, where she focuses on effective, practical self-improvement tools for personal and professional success. Aubrey, welcome to our show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good morning.
Thank you. Sorry. Morning. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Sorry. Yes. Bit of a mad day. So, but thanks for waiting.
No, of course. I think we said even 11:15, so that's why I was like, no, nothing to worry. It's just the Zoom cannot give me a 15 minutes here or there, so that's why I booked entire hour.
No worries. No, I appreciate it.
How
thank
are you feeling? Looking fresh?
Good. Yes. Well, we're about to move house, which is why a lot of these emails have been sort of coming in. We're trying to exchange today, but it's one of those things.
That's right. Well, no introduction needed. We have our Dr. Aubrey with us, always fantastic topics and interviews. So I'm very excited for another one, which I think in today's world, especially facing difficult times and crazy news, it's about how those negative news can impact our health. So
absolutely.
Why do we dumb scroll? Why do we snoop in social media? Why are we such a pain in the ass people that just like somehow torture ourselves
We really do. And doom scrolling is this almost morbid fascination with whatever is negative. And we just keep scrolling through, looking and looking and looking. However, there is some psychological sense to it. At the very, very basic level, negativity helps us learn and helps us be aware of threats. And therefore, if we're constantly looking for it and our brain is actually primed to look for threats, to look for the negative, then the idea is we're supposed to be able to process it, think, is this a threat to me now? No, okay, then I can carry on with my business. If not, then what do I need to do about it? Unfortunately, this was fine when the only threat would be, I'm in the jungle, is there an animal that's about to kill me? Hmm. Now, the threats are either sometimes imaginary, they're sometimes overthinking, they are sometimes fake. They are all of these things that are coming towards us, and we're thinking about them and we're holding on to them and containing them. And that causes us a lot of mental distress. And unfortunately, what makes it worse is when we are so distracted by these horrible things happening, whether real, not real, whether we've overthought them or not, we can't get on with what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And then we start slipping in those areas, and then we worry about that, and it becomes this horrible vicious cycle. So technically we do it because it makes sense to. Unfortunately, in the 21st century, what our brain is trying to do to help us is actually hindering us.
We take it to another level these days, isn't it? I even catch myself doing this all the time because of what I do. Everyone is telling me you have to be on TikTok, you have to be on Instagram, you know what? So I'm doing this, and I must tell you, as much as I try to stay sane and just focus on my work and post whatever I have to, I do catch myself going to TikTok for some short fast news, and then you end up scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and you can't stop. It's like with me eating a chocolate, it won't end on one bar. I have to finish it all.
Yeah, I know exactly how you feel. And before you know it, you've been scrolling, the hour's gone, and you're just thinking, what did I actually achieve for myself today? And it's unfortunately, because this news is coming to us like that, and because our brain is there to look for negativity and possible threats. And of course, possible threats, don't forget, can be what someone else doing. Mm-hmm. What is somebody in my field doing that perhaps I'm not? We are trying to learn from it. But unfortunately, we need to recognize that we sometimes need to fight against our old-fashioned instincts because they're not actually serving us in this day and age anymore. So, yeah, I totally hear you. And I completely understand why you're doing it.
It's so difficult. It's like I have this now brought this regime to my diet. No food after 8 o'clock. Oh my God, it's so difficult. And it's the same thing with those little apps. You have them there and you know, you don't really want to, as much as I'm trying to always educate myself and think like, you know, this is fake, this is manipulated news. You do go and just snoop a little bit. I think this is in our human nature that we like a little bit those little gossips. We like to snoop. What's going on? How does she look like? What dress did she wear? You know, it's just very, very difficult, I must say.
Absolutely. And gossip and comparison are two very natural, although old-fashioned, shall we say, evolutionary instincts where we can understand where we are in our tribe or our group or our community. So we compare ourselves, and unfortunately building our self-esteem, which is seen as very positive, is based on comparison. It's based on saying, well, I'm here compared to where somebody else is, so at least I didn't come last. Whereas of course what we try and practice is self-compassion, and it's not a case of, well, at least I didn't come last, but I worked really hard. I did what was right for me. I was able to train. I was able to do those things. And that is healthier for us than comparing ourselves with somebody else. And gossip is similarly a way that we can feel in with our group. Because if we know something that somebody else doesn't know, then we have a position of power. Now, let's not forget, in evolutionary times, if we go right back, power was not gossip. It was, can I beat someone in a fight? Am I bigger? Am I stronger? Am I faster? Gossip is another form of power in today's currency. I use little quote marks, air quotes, because knowing something about someone else means you have an ability to shame them, to spread a rumor about them, to have some hold over them. And that's, when you think about it, what we were trying to do when we were simply trying to beat somebody in something. We were trying to prove that we were more powerful. And these currencies are very dangerous to start dealing in.
Do we all have them? Are they just naturally embedded in us, or do we develop them?
That's a really good question. I would believe that because it's instinctive to look to others, we are social creatures. That is, it's nature to us. That's not something we've had to learn. So we have instincts to compare. We have instincts to be with other people in a community. What we use to wield power, whether it's money, whether it's gossip, that is often nurtured through the community. Because when did we start dealing in money? I mean, that was something that had to be learned, that had to be given a value. Same way gossip had to be given a value in order for it to continue. If suddenly we all decide not to use social media, I don't think that will ever happen because we're just drawn to it. It's part of our lives now. But if we did decide to do that, then that currency, those likes, those hearts, all of that won't be valuable anymore. So it just depends on what's valuable. And unfortunately, we do look to what everybody else is doing. And then when we go back to instinct, social media has been created to get us valuing the likes and the hearts and the comments. Because if you notice, I have all my sounds off on Facebook and various things, but I know when I have them on, you press it and it makes this little kind of noise. It's a very happy sound and you like it. And then sometimes you get haptic feedback. So it vibrates and that feels nice as well. And so it's there to keep us looking for the likes.
It is, when I listen to it, it's a little sad. It's a little sad because I catch myself too. You know, you post something and you look at how many people like it. How it's like a little bit like an analytics or statistic that you look at, but also obviously we do like the high number rather than, you know, oh, just 2 people, oh, just 5 people, oh, 20 people, oh, 200 people.
Yes.
How funny is that, isn't it?
That again, that is because that's the currency that we value. Mm-hmm. A couple of things that might help. Sometimes we find that when we understand something, that can help us minimize the emotional impact. Other times it might just be, what's a practical solution for this? So the practical solution is very easy. For example, I have an app blocker on my phone. So it blocks social media between certain times, which means I only go on in the morning to post for my brand. I go on at lunchtime to answer any comments and post something else for my brand. And I go on in the evening. I cannot access it. Well, I can, of course, I can switch the app blocker off. But this app blocker in particular says to me, you've tried to open me 3 times today. And it builds up and you sort of start thinking, right, better not do that anymore. So that's that side of things. However, what we also need to recognize, just in terms of why we're posting and are we actually using this as a tool, or if we are and we want to use the analytics, then what are the analytics really telling us? There's a great book, I can't remember who it's by, but it's called The Long Tail. And what The Long Tail reveals to us, in the big scheme of analytics, the top posters, we are talking billions of likes. It's huge. And the example they give is with ice cream, people's preferences for ice cream. Mm-hmm. Vanilla is, that's the favorite. But actually, it's called a long tail because after the top, mm-hmm, everybody else, it's a much of a muchness. We're not actually talking about 1,000 likes. Wow, that's loads. No, that's a little bit like, well, 4 or 5 people like chocolate, 6 or 7 like strawberry. one or two like Neapolitan. It's that kind of thing. And when we understand that, that we might be seeking these thousands of likes, but we are still nowhere near the top performers. We're somewhere in that long tail.
Right.
How effective or valuable is being in the long tail? That's maybe the question we need to start asking ourselves.
Right. So what is doom scrolling? What is it?
Doom scrolling, it's a little bit like checking your analytics. It's just almost a little nudge that keeps telling us, oh, this is happening and that's happening. And we almost make ourselves feel bad by continuing to look. The one benefit, well, apart from, yes, we look for the negative and so it helps us learn, but there is another benefit. And sometimes by looking at negatives, we start thinking, what can I do about it? And it moves us to action. And that can be really positive when we're saddened by something that's happened and we're seeing refugees fleeing, we're seeing horrible things happen. And we think, right, what can I do? What can I donate? How can I help? How can I? It can elicit compassion. And what compassion does is it engages us with trying to make things better. And that's wonderful. What it can also do is we look at our analytics, we get a bit upset, we look at more analytics, and then we think, right, okay, what can I do about this? If it moves us to action, negativity isn't actually a problem. The problem comes when it just paralyzes us. And all we do is a behavioral version of overthinking negative automatic thoughts, a negative cycle of thoughts. So overthinking is where we just continue to almost impress something in our mind. Negative behavior spirals are when we just sit and we look and we look and we look and we don't do.
That's what happened to me recently. I just realized I did that little self-analysis and I realized I cannot look at no images, videos with animals just because I'm super sensitive to it. And it just creates that form of, because I miss my dog so much. She's in Poland too. And I feel a little bit guilty for not having her here. So it caused in me some form of, not depression, but I would say anxiety, a little bit sadness. So that's one. I stopped also watching news about what's happening in Ukraine because that caused me a lot of anxiety too. So you know what? I just did a little bit like self-analysis thinking like, Natalia, if you have to be there, you have to know how to, just like you do your funny app, which is great. I might steal your idea actually.
Yeah, please do.
I decided no animal images, even though I'm animal lover to the moon. But it just does something to me that I start to think and my mood goes very, very low. So I'm sometimes thinking, do we do those scrolling? Because it urged me to do it because we like to a little bit, I don't know, is it self-sabotage or a little bit of like torturing ourselves or what it is that it draws us to be in that space when we not necessarily feel happy, not unhappy, but we just lifting somewhere there, like floating.
Yes, yes. What you're talking about, and there has been research in this, is that a negative emotion lasts longer with us. It has a greater impact on us. But if you want to translate that into more colloquial everyday language, it helps us feel. And if that feeling, any feeling, lasts that little bit longer, it almost reminds us we're alive. But that's a very dangerous pathway to go down because, and this is not a discussion on self-harm, but let's just use that as an example. Sometimes when people self-harm, it is to see the pain physically. Mm-hmm. It's because they find it really difficult to express or even validate and believe in themselves that they are suffering because it's mental, it's emotional. You can't see it. But if I see blood, then that's almost proof and a validation. And it's a similar thing here with how we respond. If we are feeling not even meh, but just apathetic and just nothing is nothing's affecting us. And we do feel that way because we've had a horrible 2 years and it's just got worse with the war. And so we're in a situation where we may feel quite numb to a lot of things, and a feeling, even if it's a negative, sad one, is still a feeling. And that to me is absolutely heartbreaking. And what we need to really try and do is try and bring in more of the happy feelings and the positive states, because not only does that balance the negativity, but that may also help us engage more with compassion and moving to action, which in turn then, as I say, minimizes the emotional impact. Mm. So you're right in saying that sometimes we're doing it just to feel, and that's really awful. I would prefer it when people were dressing up to go and get their vaccines just to feel, because they were thinking, oh, I'm going to wear my evening dress because I'm going out the house for once. Mm. And that was lovely because it was a positive. They walked taller, their posture was better, they got more air to their lungs. There were so many benefits of this, and you were socializing with people. And it was a silly thing that people were posting on Instagram, lots of fun. And to me, that's got to be a bit more positive than looking at negative stuff to feel.
What you just said actually gave me goosebumps, because exactly answers my inner questions. Like, because I've been in that position where you when we spoke about narcissism, when you experience something mentally but you cannot see it, and you go to the point, if you're on your own, am I crazy? Is that really happening to me? I cannot see it. That person denies it. I'm in that space where I'm like, gosh, I need to see it. And that's where it came to, unfortunately, with my case, so a little bit of self-harm, which I've fortunately I could name it. And now you just actually, again, proving that's what we as a human have ability to do at very certain times. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the validation. When you see something, okay, I've seen it, I've touched it, I felt it finally. Okay, that's real. But when it's something mental, we tend to deny it or maybe deflect it. Someone might gaslight us, like that never happens. I fully can relate to that. So it's fantastic. Actually gave me goosebumps, your answer, which is, you know, scientific proof that this is what happened to us as people. So how to protect ourselves? Oh, sorry.
So I was just going to add to that. It's not just the validation for yourself, but it's that worry that we have. Will someone else believe me? Especially if you've been told by a gaslighter, mm-hmm. Oh, no one's going to believe you.
Yeah.
And that's where we start struggling and thinking, if I don't even believe me, how can I possibly expect anyone else to? And that's where this negative spiral gets worse. But yes, we are talking about the positives and how we can manage this now. And that's great.
So how do you think we can protect ourselves from the bad news? Is it even possible not to, I don't know, look at it and get drawn into them?
Your way of saying to yourself, well, actually, I know this triggers me, so I'm not going to look at these particular things, is a very common approach in cognitive therapy. It falls under rational emotive therapy, and it's known as the ABCD technique. What you do is, on reflection, you look at the A, which is the activating event, the pictures of animals. Then you look at B, what beliefs do I have around that, or what behavior do I display around that, which you've recognized, I feel very sad, it makes my mood go down. The C is, what are the consequences of that behavior? So, well, then I can't concentrate, and then I want to look at more, and then I can't do my work. And so that's your situation. That's the A, B, and C. That's understanding what's going on. The D is about disputing it, or disputing the behavior. So if it's a negative thought, then we work at disputing the thought. So if it's not a case of, then I doom scroll more pictures and make myself feel even sadder, but it might be, oh, I see someone who's better than me, and my consequence is I keep thinking I'm rubbish. So you dispute that belief. How am I good? How have I improved? How have I achieved things? Or you dispute the behavior, as in, well, could I do something else? When I am scrolling through, do I have to do it? Or can I actually stop? Or can I prevent myself from looking at it altogether? So that's actually what you've done. You've used that technique really, really well. Positive psychology adds an E on the end, because very much like all of these techniques, you need to be quite strict with yourself. And we may be really, really disciplined. Like, I know you are really disciplined. And then you will say, but then I'll eat 5 chocolate bars. But ironically, the most disciplined people are the ones where in certain areas, we just end up going, whatever, I don't care. Because willpower, research has shown, willpower is a finite amount of energy we can put in something. So if we have been, I'm disciplined, so I'm going to work out and I'm going to post my brand stuff and I'm going to write my articles and I'm going to see my clients, and that's all regimented and timetabled, your willpower is kind of depleted by the end of the day. So by the end of the day, 5 chocolate bars, whatever. So what positive psychology says is there's an E in there, and the E is try and do things that make you feel positive, energized, motivated, or recharged. So something like sleep, something like meditation, something like yoga, because that keeps our energy and our willpower almost up in order to keep being able to do the things that are healthy for us.
The cycle, yeah, it's so true. Jesus, how much I love to talk to you, because it just reveals, it's like, you know, voila, I figured this out, thanks to you, of course.
Oh no, you are doing all of these things. You're doing them informally. All I do is I know what the research is about.
I'm a huge fan of knowledge. I think knowledge helps me a lot to overcome certain things. So when you name it, I'm like, oh my God, you just brightened my day. Now I know. I hope our listeners feel the same.
I hope so. It makes us feel better when we realize, actually, not only am I not alone, but people have researched this, so I'm really not alone. This is more common than I think. And we feel better about that because, again, humans looking for social comparison. Oh, I'm not weird. And you're not. No one is.
Oh, it's like, ooh, am I the weirder one here? So do you have any tips how to ditch this doom scrolling?
There are some practical ones. Use maybe only trusted news outlets. So if you are looking for news, make sure they are the reputable news outlets. You might wish to set aside worry time. Now, this works for some people, it doesn't work for others, and it works quite well with children. And that is to allow yourself to worry. I am going to worry, but I'm only going to worry between 6 and 6:30 today. And that is the time where if you want to doom scroll for half an hour, you allow yourself to doom scroll for half an hour. And almost by allowing that to happen and planning for it, it may prevent us from doing it during the day, because we know that 6 o'clock, that's my time to actually sit down and do that. So works for some, doesn't work for others, but worth a try. Accepting our feelings, accepting that we do feel bad. Things are awful. We've just come through 2 years of a pandemic. We're in a war at the moment. It's not happy. Let's not try and do the British thing by going around going, yeah, I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. I'm probably not fine. So be honest with how you're feeling. Because when you can be honest with how you're feeling, you may recognize, maybe I need some help. Maybe I need some support. A lot of people say to switch off from the things that no longer serve us. And to some extent, yes, I would agree with that. However, just be mindful that you're not teaching yourself, if I don't like something, I can switch it off. Life doesn't work that way. So we're better off learning how to manage it in small doses or in manageable doses. And then that leads me to the final point, which is often if we are moved to act and to do something about it, it minimizes the negative impact, makes us feel better, and other people benefit. So for example, if you are concerned about the war and how you can help, go and find out what you can donate, where you can donate. That would be one thing. But again, reputable places. We talked about scams. Unfortunately, people do come and scam others at these points of crisis because they know people want to help. If you're working with children, explain it to them in accessible language, because hiding it, that's not going to help them. And also modeling how we can manage. So giving them something practical to do as well. Maybe they can choose what they're going to donate out of this list of things that people need. Another thing which is really lovely that people don't talk about is, if you're a business, how can you join with other businesses to do something. And something that I know has been going on in Poland, which is just so uplifting, is hoteliers have all joined together and they are providing accommodation for refugees. And what I noticed was they'd started by a few of them wanting to do it. Then they realized everyone wanted to do it. And now they've centralized it. And that's just wonderful. So you can work out with your own field what you can do. And then with people like yourself, and I really respect you for doing it and talking about these issues, is using our platforms in order to raise awareness and help people manage what they're going through.
Yeah, it's funny that you said, you know, let's stop doing the British thing, which, I mean, I love this country, I live here, I feel more British than Polish, to be very honest, at times. But sometimes I do not like, I must say that out loud, that there is this a little bit hypocrisy behind how you're feeling. Oh, fine. And when you start to say, well, actually, I'm not, people don't really care. So every time I'm trying to ask, how are you, take a moment, even with my clients or people who come to my classes, touch their shoulders, like, how are you? You okay? Are you sure? Okay, let's do it, you know, and always make sure that they feel safe. And if something is going on, maybe they can come back to me in their own time, you know.
Yeah,
so that's what I would like people to start to do more with consciousness. How are you? Not just how are you as a part of the culture that we're in, how are you because I care.
Yes, you have hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. And when we talk about culture, the common thing to put in emails is, dear Natalia, how are you? Now I will tend to put, because I know it's a nicety, and a nicety, you're not expecting a response. It's just a simple thing. So instead of how are you, be conscious, exactly like you said, dear Natalia, I hope you're well. And that becomes a positive closed statement. You're not expecting an answer. But if you are going to ask, how are you? Then you need to allow people the safe space, exactly as you've said, in order to reply, and then respect their reply. Because if you have asked somebody, how are you? And they've said, I'm fine. What they could actually mean is, I'm really struggling. I don't want to talk to you about it, which is, you know, absolutely the case sometimes for me with friends, or I don't want to talk now because now's not the right time to talk about it. And so, again, if somebody has deflected it, it can be worse if you say, how are you? I'm fine. Are you really fine? Are you sure you're and if you keep pushing and keep pushing, especially at a time where that person does not want to talk about it, it can make things worse. So a better response and a more positive, helpful response will be something along the lines of, well, if you're absolutely sure, but you know you can talk to me, or let's go for a coffee at lunchtime and maybe chat about it. And that it opens up that conversation. It may not be the time nor the place that somebody wants to have that discussion at that moment.
Correct. Just a little bit, I felt like we start forgetting about humanity sometimes, and we just do things mechanically, which is sad. I do understand we live in crazy times, so not everyone has time for this all the time, but I always try to make sure that I let people know I'm here. You can even DM me. So I'm here if you need me.
That's exactly it. It's having that open door policy and being somebody that you know you'll reply. You know, if someone, because somebody taking you into their confidence, whether it's part of your job or whether it's just simply as a friend, that is, we were talking about gossip earlier, one of the biggest shows of trust anyone can ever give you. It's so valuable, because what they're doing is they're saying, I'm allowing myself to be vulnerable in front of you, and I'm giving you that knowledge which you could potentially do anything with. And that's how valuable trusting someone is. And that's, I believe, the weight that goes behind the question, how are you? Especially if you're going to continue to have that conversation, and it is a conversation.
Mm-hmm. So I think you touch up on this, but would you have any more or ideas of how to disconnect from that virtual world? And talking about virtual world, it's not just news, it's also the part when we look at social media and we compare ourselves, our bodies, our skin, knowing actually we know these days that this is all Photoshop. This is not sustainable. Even if you're in a perfect shape, it's sustainable for maybe 2 weeks or before competition or whatever is that. but we still somehow tend to look at it as a form of, body goals, life goals, relationship goals.
And that's what the hashtags are, unfortunately, because that's what gets people to look at those pages. Now, I'm all for advocating a bit of a Marie Kondoing on social media. If it does not bring you joy, do not follow that account. I go through social media purges every now and then. I will actually look at it and think, I don't want to follow that particular person anymore because it just doesn't make me feel good anymore. I start panicking that I'm not doing that or that I need to do something else. And it's not malicious. People are just posting and it's their platform. They can post what they want to post. They're not doing it for my benefit, but I have a choice and my choice is not to control someone else's behavior because you can't, but I can manage my own behavior around it. So I unfollow any accounts that no longer bring me joy. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we can do, which is something that I'm grateful for knowing you, for example, is to have what Napoleon Hill calls a mastermind alliance. And this is a group of like-minded people who think the same sorts of things. You support each other in your work. You celebrate each other in your work and you feel secure with those people. You may be all in very similar fields, or at least you're all going through similar things. So I know that we both understand what social media can be like. We're both in the sort of the coaching arena. We're both in the broadcast arena as well. So we understand those issues that we face. But at the same time, I would hope that you would never find me competitive or trying to bring you down to make myself look good. And similarly, I would never see anything like that with any of your posts. I like what you post. I think you're very positive. You're a great person to have on my newsfeed. And so it's building up that group of just, it doesn't even need to be formal, but knowing that these are people who've got your back. And that is really important. And we may not find that in our friendship groups because it might be your friendship groups are great at fitness, for example, but they may not understand broadcast and would not want to go near broadcast. You may have broadcast people who don't understand what it is to work with clients, or you may have friends who just simply, they just want to talk about family and kids and stuff. And that's lovely too, because we need that variety. But if we have too much of one and not enough of the other that encourages us and helps us grow in the areas we want to grow in and that are meaningful to us, that's when we begin to not only feel it, but it hits us worse when we start doom scrolling.
Mm-hmm. I fully agree. Absolutely agree. So do you think there is any negative impact to our mental as well as physical health?
Hugely.
Bad news and scrolling and...
Oh, yes. Because the more negative things that... Well, it's not even the more negative things we see. Our brain starts to create pathways and fires the more we do something. So simply, if we keep looking at negative, it's feeding our brain. It's, if you think of the brain as a computer, the brain is now thinking, oh, that's what we're looking for. So that's what we're firing off at. So you're just going to be drawn to it more. If you start looking at the positive, if you start maybe doing a bit of gratitude, affirmations or things like that, just trying to prime your mind slightly differently, your brain starts firing to that a bit more. Mm-hmm. So yes, unfortunately, if we keep on doing the negative, even though we know it's not good for us, not only are we training our brain in a certain way, but then we're going to add guilt onto it because we know it's not good for us and we're still doing it. And unfortunately, it gets harder to undo it. So we need to take action ourselves and remind ourselves that our brain is kind of working against us sometimes because ultimately, when we were living in a jungle, which takes us right back to the beginning, or living in caves, we had to look for the negative. And we could then do something about it. The life that we're in now with technology, it's not like that anymore.
Yeah, and we need to be mindful and aware of that. And I think we, majority of us, know already that this is, every news is manipulated, news can be manipulated. It's not fully 100% real. Whatever we saw on social media, divided by 2 minus 10, all this, you know, do your math. It's just not fully real. If you want to see real, look around you, you know, look what's going on in your neighbors, at the gym. And that's pretty much real life. Because unfortunately, you know, we can manipulate the news, even, you know, posting something. Sometimes you just want to make it look better to attract more people or audience, perhaps. So I want to encourage everyone to just really, really digest and really think of the news that we're absorbing in a perhaps slightly smarter way, or maybe more caring towards ourself way.
Yes, exactly. I fully agree with you. And the difficulty with certain social media, like Instagram, for example, which I do use. It's a brand thing. I've got a brand page on there. But when it comes to filters, it used to be that models in magazines were photoshopped. We know that. Then people stopped doing that because that was seen as putting a negative, as encouraging a negative approach to body image, because there was no way that people could actually become those supermodels and look like that because they were photoshopped. They weren't real. But the problem with something like social media is it's accessible to everybody, which means that the filters are accessible to everybody. So when we see our own friends using the filter, at least with a magazine, in a way we were one step removed. We could look at it and go, well, that's a model and I'm not a model, so that's okay. But when we look at, that's my friend, oh, or that's my next door neighbor, oh, and that's where it is a problem. And I think, as well as being mindful of what we consume, exactly as you've said, we need to be mindful ourselves of what we put out there.
Correct. Yeah, it's very sad. And actually, I've seen that with a few of my friends. I was like, why do you need to talk? You know, it sounds terrible, but sometimes it's like, why? I have a fantastic boyfriend who tells me all the time, like, you're perfect as you are. He says that, you know, to his own sisters all the time. And I would love everyone to think the same way. Of course, we can improve ourselves. I'm never, ever against improvement and development. Do it. You want to lose some weight? I will be your biggest cheerleader. But, you know, let's just have a little bit more of compassion towards ourselves even, you know.
Could not agree
thank
more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Informative, short, quick little interview. Love it. Love it. Love it. I love the knowledge. I just love it. I'm a sucker for knowledge.
Oh, no, it's always a pleasure. And you talk about such interesting topics. And this one is so pertinent, especially right now.
Thank you to you. So we're always in communication what to do. And I love that. And I think it's very up to date for people. So I hope everyone benefited. If you have any questions, guys, you know where to find us. And we're going to provide you with all social media. So thank you again. And you have a lovely day.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Take care. Bye-bye.
And now it's time for our workout. But before we continue, we have some valuable information from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, team, so today I want to talk to you about my new fitness dance class that is happening on the 30th of April. So in a few weeks, actually 3 weeks' time. It's called Afro House and HIIT. I'm sure you already heard about it because I'm trying to spread as much awareness and knowledge about fitness and dance as possible. So I have for you another fantastic opportunity to burn some calories. And my new class, Afro House and Heat, on the 30th of April from 2 to 3:30 is a fantastic way to do so. It's a great way to burn some calories, work on your muscles, and have fun to the best beat of your Afro House beats. What's better than that? And just as a reminder, if you still wonder what dance or fitness can do to you, here are some positive effects on your body and mind. So, dancing can be a way to stay fit for people of all ages, shapes and sizes. It has a wide range of physical and mental benefits, such as improved condition of your heart and lungs. Did you know that? Increased muscular strength, endurance and motor fitness. Wow! Increased aerobic fitness. Increased muscle tone and strength. It can also be a weight manager. Stronger bones and reduced risk of osteoporosis. Better coordination, agility, flexibility. Improved balance and spinal awareness. Increased physical confidence. Improved mental functioning. Improved general and psychological well-being. As well as greater self-confidence and self-esteem for better social skills. So why not join my class? Book your spot, visit my website where you can read more about it, www.nataliakotowska.com, or just simply DM me on my Instagram, fitnesswithnk. I'm happy to provide you with all necessary information, support, and anything you need from me. So make sure you just reach out. Any questions, anything you need, I'm always here for you. Thank you, team, for listening, and I will see you next time. Why do we doom scroll? We might be telling ourselves that we are staying informed, but there is something deeper at work when we find ourselves constantly scrolling through social media and bad news headlines. If you're depressed, you often look for more information that can confirm how you feel. If you're feeling negative, then reading negative news reconfirms how you feel. It is the same mindset. If you do that few times, it can easily become a habit. If you're continuously scrolling, it becomes a mindless habit. A lot of times, you might not even be aware you're doing it. But it becomes such a habit that if you have a down moment, you might pick up your phone and start scrolling without even really being aware of it. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, as well as quick note about what dance and fitness class can do for you. If you have any questions, feedbacks, comments, please contact me. Follow me on Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message, and make sure you visit my website for more information and free workouts, www.nataliakotowska.com. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me your time, and I will see you next time.